Space is filled with flying fragments, and boy am I glad. Space is filled with flying fragments, and boy am I glad. Space is filled with flying fragments, and boy am I glad. I like it. I think I'll save asteroids for tomorrow, because I love asteroids even more, because they're bigger, meaner, hairier, faster, and can destroy this Earth in a single bound, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited when stuff falls from heaven. I do not prohibit it. I would not employ an umbrella to shield myself from these flying objects. Let them come. I fear not. I'm going to save it for tomorrow, boy. Okay, I wish I could talk about asteroids today. But I'm not. I'm going to talk about the little tiny space fragments. There have been planets that have been obliterated. The disruption of the Earth obliterated planets, and there are fragments everywhere. I wasn't going to talk about asteroids. Stop it. Today I'm going to talk about the Leonids. There was an event in 1833, a meteor shower. Meteors. What is a meteor compared to an asteroid? I tell you, it is nothing compared to an asteroid. I do like meteors, but I love asteroids. But I'm not going to talk about them until tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be an epic day when I, Martin Zender, tell you about asteroids. But today, I'm going to rein myself in, starting now. Sorry, I get a little excited. What's my lighting doing here? Yeah, I think it should be a little creepier here. Let me try something here. I'm going to be right back. I'm going to disengage a light here. I'm going to mess with the heaven above my head and see what happens, because I want a more subdued atmosphere as we talk about the meteor shower of November 13th, 1833, which made a lot of people pee their cotton pants. No, wool pants. Yeah, they had wool pants back then. Hang on a second. All right. I don't know what's going to happen here. We'll see this. I don't know how this is going to be. How is this? Oh, my goodness. Kind of spooky. I'm going to up this a little bit. I kind of look like Robin Williams there a little bit when I turn my head like this. You see that? I kind of like this. This is really kind of creepy. Now I'm getting the light from my computer, and I've doused the light of heaven. And so we're more subdued here as we talk about the pummeling of the Earth and the potential pummeling of the Earth. Which I invite. I have no, overwhelming emotional attachment to this planet. It's been a good planet for me, overall. It's been a nice home for my humiliation. It oversaw the crucifixion of the Son of God, and I do appreciate it for that. But the time of its destruction is drawing nigh. And on November 13th, 1833... people were scared nearly to death because of a incredible demonstration of the Leonids. And I'm going to describe for you that event. The Leonids, ladies and gentlemen, are a prolific meteor shower associated with the comet Temple-Tuttle. I imagine named after two men, one Temple and one Tuttle. They get their name from their location because they are radiant in the constellation of Leo. Speaking of the zodiac of yesterday. So they appear to radiate from one point in the sky. That is the constellation Leo. And they look like an umbrella. Folks, go to Leonids, L-E-O-N-I-D-S, in Wikipedia. And look at the illustrations. There were no cameras then, so nobody captured it on film. Nobody had their cell phones tucked into their wool pants that they were peeing as the Leonids appeared. But there is a artist rendition of the famous depiction of the 1833 meteor storm produced. This particular thing was produced in 1889, this drawing for the Seventh-day Adventist book, Bible Readings for the Home Circle. Sounds like a nightmare. Gather around, children, Bible readings for the home circle from the Seventh-day Adventist. We're going to talk about the meteor shower of 1833. And see, but this is always has a religious connotation. Whenever something like this appears in the sky, instantly people think end times. And there's a reason for that. They should. So the proper name, Greek name, should be the Leonotes. I don't have any Greek accent. But the word was initially constructed as a Greek-Latin hybrid and has been used ever since. Not that interested in that. This is what I am interested in. The 1880s, the Leonids are famous because their meteor showers or storms can be among the most spectacular. Because of the storm of 1833 and the recent developments in scientific thought of the time, see, for example, the identification of Halley's Comet, the Leonids have had a major effect on the development of scientific study of meteors, which had previously been thought to be atmospheric phenomenon. In other words, they didn't realize, there was a time when people didn't realize that these lights shooting in space were actual heavenly bodies, actual pieces of space dust or chunks of space rock that were coming into the Earth's atmosphere. But after this, they realized. Now, the meteor storm that's mentioned by A. Enoch here in the unveiling of Jesus Christ, his book, for 3 hours, this is quoting now from the unveiling of Jesus Christ, for 3 hours on the night of November 13th, 1833, men were frightened almost to death, and they nearly peed their wool knickers. That's me, I added that. Thinking that the sixth seal was being broken, if they'd ever heard of it, or that the end of all things had come. The sky was filled with flashing meteors and looked as if all the stars were falling to Earth. And I'm telling you, go to Leonids in Wikipedia and look at the graphic there. It's unbelievable. If I saw this, I would think it was the end of the world. No kidding. But this is going to, it's just a faint, this is a faint depiction of what's actually going to happen. As I will read to you, you'll see that it was limited. Even this spectacular display was limited. The sky was filled with flashing meteors and looked as if all the stars were falling. This alone is evidence. This is not that the stars of heaven are ready for the great day when the sudden shock will send them hurtling to Earth. A sudden shock. Because I remind you of the analogy Jesus gave. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the show, I think, of figs falling from a tree. All right, but for now, let's go back to 1833. The meteor storm of 1833 was of truly superlative strength. One estimate is that over 100,000 meteors fell an hour. 100,000 meteors an hour. But another estimate, after the storm abated, estimated that it was in excess of 240,000 meteors during the 9 hours of the storm over the entire region of North America east of the Rocky Mountains. Whoopee-doo. North America east of the Rocky Mountains. That's limited. As spectacular as that was, it was limited. But the phenomenon of the sixth seal of the stars of heaven falling will not be limited. Now, this event was marked, I'm back to Wikipedia, by the Native Americans and abolitionists like Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass and others. No doubt they used this as the judgment of God coming. Near Independence, Missouri, in Clay County, a refugee Mormon community watched the meteor shower on the banks of the Missouri River after having been driven from their homes by local settlers. The founder and first leader of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, had predicted stars falling from heaven. So there it is. Another religious connotation, this time a dubious one. Joseph Smith, of course, big faker, we all know that, afterwards noted in his journal that this event was a literal fulfillment of the word of God and a sure sign that the coming of Christ is close at hand. Well, I will say this. Maybe it is a close sign. Maybe it is a sure sign that the coming of Christ is close. Because I think the wording of A. Enoch here is suggestive. This alone is evidence that the stars of heaven are ready for the great day when the sudden shock will send them hurtling to Earth. I told you yesterday I used a term of my own invention. The heavens are loosey-goosey, just like figs overripe on a tree. Their stems are compromised and they're ready to go, and a wind knocks them down. Likewise, heavens is ready. The heavens are ready. The heaven is ready, heaven, to unleash a phenomenon that no one's ever seen. Should I read this part? Dennis Olmsted. Does anybody care about Dennis Olmsted? Sure. He explained the event most accurately. After spending the last weeks of 1833 collecting information, don't know who this guy is, a scientist apparently, he presented his findings in January 1834 to the American Journal of Science and Arts, published in April through April of 1834. He noted that the shower was of short duration and was not seen in Europe. And this is telling you that this was a localized phenomenon. And that the meteors radiated from a point in the constellation of Leo. And he speculated the meteors had originated from a cloud of particles in space. Yeah, a cloud of particles in space. Because the disruption of the world of Genesis 1-2, I believe this. This is me. Made planets collide. Planets collided. And the result was they were broken into fragments, into bits. And these bits are floating around in space. And they're now in orbit. Some of them are so large they become asteroids and other things orbit around them because their gravitational force becomes so pronounced. So this guy noted the Leonids of 1833, A, short duration. B, not seen in Europe. I'm just not interested in it if it's not seen in Europe. And C, they radiated from a point in the constellation of Leo. And he speculated the meteors had originated from a cloud of particles in space. Accounts of the 1866 repeat of the Leonids counted hundreds per minute, a few thousand per hour in Europe. And the Leonids were again seen in 1867 when moonlight reduced the rates to 1,000 per hour. Another strong appearance of the Leonids, brief history of the Leonids here, in 1868 reached an intensity of 1,000 per hour. 1,000 per hour. That's nothing compared to 1833. How many per hour? 100,000 per hour. 1,000? Give me 100,000. And that is a drop in the proverbial bucket compared to what's coming. Because these came from one point in space. Imagine the Leonids coming from every constellation. There are 12 constellations. This came from Leo. Imagine them coming from all 12, being seen everywhere. And this isn't even mentioning the asteroids, which you know I'm looking forward to tomorrow. It was in 1866/67 that information on Comet Temple-Tuttle was gathered, pointing it out as the source of the meteor shower. When the storms failed to return in 1899, collective groan, it was generally thought that the dust had moved on and storms were a thing of the past. The dust has moved on. Oh, isn't that telling? The dust has moved on. Pay no attention, folks. The dust is gone. The storm has abated, and you'll never see anything like this again. Yeah, right. Because we have not had such a spectacular showing of the Leonids since 1833, we assume that such displays are a thing of the past. People forget so quickly, don't they, of judgments in the past. And this was Peter's accusation against those scoffers of his day. Wow, things have gone as they have gone. From time immemorial, Peter says, you are oblivious of this, that there were a heavens of old and an earth of old, cohering out of water through water, that the then world by water perished. And so there was a disruption of the world and there was a flood of Noah. And the disruption of the world, I believe, shattered planets. And there are many space particles out there, if you want to use a polite term, that are poised, I believe poised. And every once in a while you hear news flash that something is near to Earth. And tomorrow I am going to talk about asteroids. I'm going to talk about near Earth experiences between our precious little planet and celestial bodies that can destroy us. But before they destroy us, God is going to use them to awaken us. Not us, not you and me. We're already awakened by looking at the beneficial rays of the sun, by looking at the order of the stars. We're amazed, and we worship God because of that. We don't need a monumental blast from space to acquaint us with the glories of God. Some people do, and they're going to get it.